The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation. Don't ask me to be lonely. Dial in at 855-487-2282. It's Michael Savage. You know, last night when I hung up the microphone and took my afternoon power nap and woke up and found out that a Hindu nationalist had won in India on a platform of basically borders, language, and culture, I thought that was going to be my topic today. And I said, can you name one candidate in America who stands for our borders, language, and culture who has taken on the illegal alien lobbyists like La Raza and Micha? Do you know that there's not one Republican waiting in the wings, whether it be Ted Cruz or Rand Paul, who espouses borders, language, and culture and says, you know what? The line is in the sand. You're not crossing it. America is America. And we're not going to cater to any lobbyists, including the illegal alien lobbies. We believe in America. We believe in English as the national language. And we believe in the founding culture. That's it. And if you don't like it, then don't come here. If we had one candidate like that, I can guarantee you he'd win by 30 points. But there's not one. So therefore, I decided not to talk about Modi winning in India. What's the point? Most of you don't know where India is. Oh, sure, you go to Indian restaurants. But you don't even understand what happened there, nor should I think you should. Modi crushes Gandhi and Indians election landslide. So I said, all right, I'm not going to do that today. Why should I do it? Even though we have the Indian national anthem ready. So I said, all right, instead, you know what I think I'll do? I'll talk about the favorite topics of the week, since it's the Week in Review on Rock and Roll Friday. And you can call in with your homeless horror stories again, or on your issue of does Pope Francis and his income redistribution rhetoric worry you? Well, how do you feel about Biden's son on the board of directors of a Ukraine natural gas company? See, those were the three hot topics of the week. And I'm sure many of you have thought about it. And, of course, you can call about it. But then I decided, no, I don't even want to talk about that. Just before the show started, I was sitting in a high state of fugue. High fugue. And I said, you know what I really want to talk about is my style of method talking. You see, in acting, there's a thing called method acting that was taught by Lee Strasberg. And many great American actors that you probably still know, I mean, followed him. Paul Newman, Marilyn Monroe, Dustin Hoffman, Al Pacino, studied under Lee Strasberg. Lee Strasberg, who perfected the method acting school of acting, played Meyer Lansky in The Godfather. Little Jewish guy, white hair. But he was actually one of the great acting coaches. So now what does it have to do with talk radio? It has this to do with it. I, Michael Savage, have developed the Free Association School of Talking. That's right. Just as Lee Strasberg has been credited for pioneering the method acting school of acting as a member of the group theater in New York, I haven't created a group theater, but I have created the Savage Nation. And I'm going to talk with you a few moments about the Free Association School of Talking by Michael Savage, because no one can copy it. It's almost impossible to do. You can't learn it. You can't even be taught. It can be taught, but you have to have a natural gift for it in order to even do it. And many of you love it. Many of you don't even understand it, but here's how it works. What is free association with regard to talking on the radio? First of all, if you're an ordinary talk show host, and you could be a very good one, don't try it because it won't work. It's almost impossible to make it work unless you've been in 30 years of self-analysis, minimum. Minimum of 30, maybe maximum of 50, after that you're senile, of self-analysis, where there's a very little barrier between your subconscious and your conscious. I've trained myself to let my subconscious talk without fearing what might come up. And there were many years where what came up scared the hell out of me, the heck out of me. I was terrified of what was down there. But then I learned to live with it all. Frankenstein, Einstein, William Shakespeare, Moses, you name it, Genghis Khan, they're all in there. We're all everything. We are all basically everything, which is why there are so many mad people running around in America today. because the drugs have enabled these demons to come out. But if you study traditional cultures as I have done, and lived in them as I have done, and steep yourself in them as I have done, you can find out that without psychedelics, you can tap into this substrata of your psyche. But it's very frightening, and I'm saying don't try it on the radio, because it can be very dangerous. But I have skilled myself to let the subconscious talk through my conscious voice. So what is the Free Association School of Talking by Michael Savage? Many of you don't even know what you're listening to right now. You figured I'd say Democrats bad, Republicans good. Or I'd talk about Hillary Clinton's eyeglasses. Or I would talk about Barack Obama's mania for mind control. I may probably not even do it because it's all there. If you go back to the Bible and you read the biblical prophets, whether it's Isaiah or the others, you'll see Free Association. Basically, he was rapping in the desert. What do you think Isaiah was doing? He was as close to heat stroke as you can get. He's talking about a burning bush and this and that and don't do this and don't do that and ba-ba-ba, ba-poop-ba-be and ba-ba-ba. And I see this and I see that and you're no good and I'm great and da-da. In other words, in our day, he would have been either a lunatic or a talk show host. So that was Isaiah. Now you move up to modern times, the next big jump in free association could be seen in the 1700s, Tristan Shandy by Lawrence Stern, Irish writer. Incredible. You have to look it up on Google. Actually, Wikipedia on Tristan Shandy. It's fascinating. He starts to tell you his life story, and it takes him about 100 pages to even tell you he was born. Because before he's born, he talks about what happened to his mother and why having a big nose is important for a person, for a person's life. It's about a guy who starts to tell you the simplest story. And in his meanderings, he tells you, okay, he's going over to, let's say, visit his in-laws. And on the way, he passes an alley. And in the alley, there's a lady of the night. And he talks to the lady of the night. And he goes on and on about what happens in the alley. And then he gets distracted within the distraction, within the distraction, within the distraction. That's free association. If it's done well, it's phenomenal. Now you come up to our age. On stage, you had Mort Saul in the 50s. He's still living, by the way. He's in his 90s here in Marin County. And he's still performing. Mort Saul was a free associationist who, as a child, I didn't even understand what he was doing. He got up on a stage with a newspaper under his arm, sweater, newspaper, 1950s. I was a little kid. And he would start to just rap on the news of the day. That's free association. In a loose forum set around the news, that's free association. Lenny Bruce was not a free associationist at all. Lenny Bruce had written scripts in the sense that he wrote, he used to say, give me 5 minutes of dynamite. Remember that? Those of you remember, he said, get on the stage, but make sure you have 5 minutes of dynamite. See, all of his early stuff, which was brilliant, was fundamentally structured and written. It was not free associational. He became free associational after he became a junkie and had court cases. That was free association dreck. That's when Lenny Bruce started to get awful. He was an embarrassment at that point. So now let's come back to talk radio. Talk radio today is in a strange place. Nobody knows where they should take it. Nobody knows where they should go with it. They understand it's a business in trouble. They understand that many people are afraid of political rhetoric to begin with. Many of us are terrified of what's happening to our country under this zealot leftist running America, Barack Obama and his minions. We understand the danger we're in. And we also understand the danger we're in because there are no Republicans to oppose him who can win. And so it looks like if Hillary ran in a coma, she could beat a Republican. You haven't read that yet. If they put her up on the stage on a stretcher, she could beat Ted Cruz or Rand Paul. I know you don't want to hear that, but that's the best we've got, and they can't win. There's a number of reasons they can't win. It's not that they're not good men. It's that they don't stand for anything. Yeah, they stand for the Constitution here and there. Have you heard any of them talk about borders, language, and culture? Just last week, Rand Paul, this week, in fact, came out and said that talking about a very important topic scares people, meaning voter ID laws should be basically understood to scare blacks and Hispanics. That was the end of Rand Paul. People don't forget these things. Just as one of my competitors, Wallbanger, came out and attacked Rancher Bundy, I read the blogs. People know that he's not to be trusted. They understand that Wallbanger is a complete and total fraud. He's not a 14-carat phony. He's a 7-carat phony. So they remember these things, and they'll remember this about Rand Paul. So I decided today I wanted to talk about my method of talking on the radio for a little while. And I've just done it. And I thank you for listening. And now we can go back to regular program, regular programming. And we'll talk about... The topics really are quite simple. The news from India, homeless horror stories, does Pope Francis's income redistribution worry you? How do you feel about Biden's son on the board of directors of a Ukraine natural gas company? That would be equivalent of George Bush's daughter signing on with Halliburton during the Iraq War. But, of course, you wouldn't hear anything about this. And, by the way, none of the Republicans made an issue of Biden's son on the board of directors of a Ukraine natural gas company, by the way. How's that possible? So now you understand why I immediately jumped to method acting taught by Lee Strasberg and the Free Association School of Talking by Michael Savage. And I went from Isaiah to Tristan Shandy to Mort Saul to me. Now, if you could ask for any better talk radio, you can ask for it all you want. You're not going to find it. I am the Sultan of talk radio. Just as there's a Sultan of Brunei, there's a Sultan of talk radio. And I am telling you that what I've just told you is a whole story unto itself. And if you'd like me to continue on any of these paths, you know what? It's Friday. It's open mic to Mike Friday, 855-407-2822. We need another piece of rock and roll. By the way, Marlon Brando is widely credited with his naturalistic style of acting, incidentally. And you'll have to tell you who Brando. Maybe they don't even remember Brando. May not remember him. You may not know this, but what was method acting? Well, let me give you an example. In order to prepare for a role, Brando went to the Birmingham Army Hospital in Van Nuys, California, and spent an entire month in a bed in order to portray the role of a paraplegic veteran in the 1950s, the men. That's what he did. And then it was Brando's improvisation and staying in character that gave him a reputation for being very difficult to deal with as an actor. And remarkably, you're unable to stop watching him. And Laurence Olivier said of Marlon Brando, he acted with an empathy and instinctual understanding that not even the greatest technical performers could possibly match. That's what I do in radio. Then Robert De Niro was a method actor. And we know how great Robert De Niro is an actor. His politics stink. His politics are horrible. You'd think that an Italian like that, a tough guy from the get-go, born in Greenwich Village, playing Raging Bull, one of the finest actors, you'd think that he would be sensible enough to be a conservative with regard to borders, language, and culture. But no, he's a far-left radical in all of his politics, as far as I can tell. When he wanted to play a young Vito Corleone in Coppola's The Godfather 2, De Niro moved to Sicily. And he's an expert on accents. And he perfected multiple Sicilian accents, which astonished his Italian voice coaches. For Taxi Driver, De Niro would spend days at the U.S. Army base in Italy to feel out how the men would walk and talk. And then he learned how to shoot a gun and drive cabs in New York. He learned how to play the saxophone for a role in New York, New York. I won't mention Dustin Hoffman because I have no respect for him. I just don't like his politics, but that's not the point. I don't think he's a particularly good actor. You know, he was good in his early days, and then he went off the rails. You know, we remember him in the early days, but his best role was, I'm walking here. Remember Ratso Rizzo? After Ratso Rizzo, Hoffman was basically off the rails. See, I could go on now for 2 hours, and that's unfortunate for you because the red lights are flashing. You're calling 855-407-2822, and none of you are calling about my real topic, which is my topic of the Free Association School of Talking by Michael Savage. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
Now you see I've gone completely out of my mind. They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha.
See, we do have the inmates running the asylum. Obama is fundamentally turning the Constitution on its head. What I'm about to tell you, in any sane time, would see an immediate arrest. So-called Homeland Security Secretary Jed Johnson wants to eliminate the deportation policies that are in place in America. Listen to this carefully. There are people living in the United States illegally, right? We know that. That's an old story. Do you realize that when they arrest somebody and they run their fingerprints, they book them for a local or state crime, they run their fingerprints through a federal database for violations. And if there's a match, ICE can ask any local police and sheriff to detain the person and decide whether to deport them. Mr. Johnson, appointed, handpicked by Obama to not enforce immigration laws, has said they want to change this so that even if they're here and they have been found to have committed a crime in the past, they cannot be deported because they have not yet been convicted of the crime. In other words, even they show that they have been convicted in the past and they've been arrested for another crime, they're going to release them into the streets. And yet this doesn't stop the radicals from Mexico primarily from lobbying to flood our streets with murderers, rapists, you name it. California and local governments in Oregon have begun refusing to honor all detention requests right now. So what does that mean? Because advocates are holding hunger strikes to protest record high deportations on Obama's watch. They want secure communities eliminated entirely. They want criminals released on our streets. Because a lawyer named Kamal Esahib, an attorney at the National Immigration Law Center, is telling us that they want them released in the streets to poison us with these criminals? Because 150 lawyers signed a letter to this guy Johnson, telling him to end the use of immigrant detentions on the secure communities, they want to flood us with criminals into the streets? Are you listening what I just said to you? Do you have any idea that this is something that should affect you as a liberal because you could be raped or robbed? Do you understand that? You dumb liberals, how stupid can you be? You'd rather put your stupid doxy and your liberalism in front of your survival. Because you are insane. You're fundamentally incapable of taking care of yourself. How could you take care of a nation? Liberalism is a mental disorder. You would rather be raped than admit you were wrong. I have met women who have told me they'd rather see their children's place in a university given up to an illegal alien than admit... Oh, I can't even finish this.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage, 560 KSFO.
I just remember them dancing outside UC Berkeley when I was going there for my degree. I used to like to eat the tofu sandwiches out in the Sproul Plaza area. I used to like to watch the Hare Krishnites, all of the rich girls on Inheritance, fundamentally controlling their sexuality by joining cults. It was fun, actually, in those days. But the thing is that now we have a Hindu nationalist, Narendra Modi, claiming victory as India's next prime minister, and most people don't care. He won in a landslide. And, of course, the liberals are attacking him, calling him an anti-Muslim. You know what's interesting to me? That the despicable people in the media who have destroyed America by backing criminals rather than cops, they'd rather support Muslims than Hindus. They don't even understand the issue, but they're already saying he's anti-Muslim. How is that possible? Why is it that American liberals are in love with Muslims? Can you explain it to me one way or the other? Why is that? Why do they not like Hindus, and why do they sort of favor Muslims? They should be happy that a Hindu nationalist won. There is a Muslim country next to India. It's called Pakistan. And the reason it was carved out of India and that Muslims moved there was because the Muslims couldn't get along with the Hindus. So Gandhi moved them. And although Gandhi meant well, a million people died on that horrible voyage from India to Pakistan. It shows you what, what is the road to you-know-where is paved with good intentions. I mean, Gandhi meant well. He wanted to bring India to peace. He wanted to bring the Muslims and the Hindus together. So he said, I'll tell you what, let's carve out a huge chunk of India. We'll make it for Muslims only. And now what's happened? Muslims now want all of India. It's not good enough for them. So finally the Hindus said, enough is enough. We're an ancient nation. We don't want any harm to come to our Muslim citizens. But we're going to make certain that the nation remains culturally, linguistically, religiously a Hindu nation. So the liberals don't like him. They hate him. The U.S. once declared him persona non grata. And he won by a landslide. Can you name one candidate in America who stands like Modi does for our borders, language, and culture. Any one of them who will take on the illegal alien lobby like La Raza, who is now running the White House on immigration. Can you name one American candidate who's spoken about this issue? I can't. And, of course, you know, I really had hoped on Rock and Roll Friday we'd get off the politics and you'd go with me on the Free Association School of Talking, but no one's calling on that. Not one caller on it. Would you believe it? You can open up a line on it, Robert. You can open up a line on that and see what we get, but nobody seems to follow me on this. I really wanted to have an easy day. Play Devil or Angel, Neil. So we'll show them it really is Rock and Roll Friday. I had only one glass of wine last night. I have a hangover. How could that be? One glass of wine and I have a headache. I don't understand it. Wine is tricky. It's a horrible substance. I'd rather hear Devil or Angel. I don't get it. One glass of wine?
Devil or Angel, I can't make up.
It is the Savage Nation on Rock and Roll Friday.
Which one you are?
When I was a kid, I had cufflinks. I had the thespian cufflinks. All right, stop. Today, kids cut themselves when they're sitting in a class and can't listen to a teacher anymore. They start ripping the hair out of their arms. Then they put them on Prozac. In my day, there was no Prozac. So I used to tear a little hair out of my wrist listening to the teachers in the third, fourth, fifth grade. I hated them. I couldn't stand school. I couldn't sit still. So my mother bought me cufflinks. I remember them to this day. I wish I still had them. They go in the Savage Museum. And they were thespian cufflinks. I'll never forget them to this day. On my right, I used to wear, would you believe that I went to school wearing a shirt and tie? And I didn't even go to Catholic school. I went to public school, and we were poor, but my mother wanted to make sure I looked good. She bought me a little blue suit. I was the only kid in the class who could afford a suit, so they made me the assembly speaker. I could speak before a crowd. That's when I learned how to talk. The teacher picked me. She didn't know if I could talk. She said, all right, you have a suit. Come on up here. I had a white shirt, tie, cufflinks. My right side had the cufflink that smiled. My left cufflink was the sad cufflink. And in addition to tearing the hairs, the little hairs out of my wrist from boredom, I would stare at the happy and sad cufflinks over and over again. Right cufflink, happy. Left cufflink, sad. Sad, happy. Sad, happy. Sad. All right, Michael, how much is 2 and 29,358 Samsung? I said, happy and sad. What'd you say? So I got up in front of the audience. I think it was in the first grade, and I distinctly remember the look of the audience in my suit. I didn't panic. I enjoyed it. It was a surge of power, the idea of standing in front of a crowd and realizing that they were staring at me. Now, you could fall on your face or whatever. I found out I had a talent for speaking in front of large audiences in the first grade. It was something stupid like Hickory Dickory Dock. The mouse ran up the clock. The clock struck one. The mouse ran down. What did you say? My lines failed already? I'm talking to myself in a madhouse? Someone's muttering something about a lot. Oh, someone's calling finally. 5,000 callers and only one's calling about this. Free association method of talking on the radio. And others have tried it and it's a disaster to listen to them. It's terrible. They should stick to what they know. Constitution, Ben Franklin, Jefferson's underwear, George Washington's wooden teeth. Constitution. Every time you hear the word Constitution, you know you're already at the end of the road. I talk about the dog, and that an article was written about him by Rich Lieberman, so right away everyone's talking about their dog. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's a big world with a lot of airtime to fill. I'm glad you joined the fight and you're part of my winning team. I'm glad we're winning in New York, Chicago, San Francisco, Dallas, and everywhere else my show appears opposite old plasterboard. I mean, how long can you listen to the sound of a nail gun? I mean, it's impossible. A nail gun on radio is not a pleasant sound. And so I'm trying to give you some music. I'm giving you rock and roll. You want me to talk about Bozo's harem in Nigeria? We don't call him Boko Haram. We call him Bozo's harem. If he's kidnapping Christian girls and turning them into slaves, we're calling it Bozo's harem. And why doesn't our great leader send drones over there to save these girls? Why? We need more than a hashtag. KKOB, Jim, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's your topic?
Michael, you're new to New Mexico, but I've been listening to you ever since you got here. And every time I hear your voice, I think of my father-in-law.
Oh, here we go. Okay, now he ran a haberdashery shop somewhere in Yonkers, is that it?
No, he was owned a bond company in Brooklyn.
Yeah, but I'm not him. The point is just because I sound like someone from New York doesn't mean I'm them.
No. All of the son-in-laws, when I first married him 30 years ago into the family, told me to stay away from him. He's mean. He's obnoxious.
You mean you are? They were afraid of you.
No. All the son-in-laws were afraid of him.
Oh, the gruff uncle, the gruff father-in-law. I get it.
Right. So, you know, I talked to him a couple times on the phone. He came out to New Mexico, and I met the man. His biggest thing was, let me ask you a question. And he wanted to debate an issue. Everybody said, don't get into it. Don't get into it. Not me. I get into it with him.
Did you wind up liking the guy?
I'm the only son-in-law he loved.
And is he dead now?
Yes, sir, he is.
What, he died of a heart attack at 53?
No, he died at 85 in Florida.
Thank God. I knew it had to be Florida. I'm sorry I didn't add that. I would have been right on one account.
It was one of
Hold on. It had to be in the Boca Raton, Fort Lauderdale area, correct?
Fort Lauderdale, yes, sir.
I could probably tell you the restaurants he ate in. He was an early bird specialist in his last few years?
Definitely.
That's funny. Are you still married or it blew up?
We're still married. Yes, sir, we are.
And wait a minute. So if your wife comes from that kind of guy, is she a peaceful woman? Is she playing second fiddle to you, or does she fight you every step of the way?
Well, let's see. She's redheaded. She's half Italian. She's short. She was born and raised in Brooklyn. You tell me.
So wait, when you have two alphas in a cage, alpha male, alpha female, you know it's got to be sparks flying and torture, right?
Oh, God, no. I win every argument in my house, Michael.
Well, I had an Italian doctor many years ago said to me, look, he said, it doesn't matter whether you argue with the woman you're living with or not. He said, all that matters is that you stop arguing when you get to bed at night.
That's right.
No, we'll leave it at that, Jim. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. We don't want to get into the next area of discussion. This is not the Balloon Man Show. 855-407-282 is the phone number. Now we got to go back to candidates. All right, we'll go to candidates. The minute I got to talk about candidates, I feel like I just ate too many macadamia nuts with salt. Immediately, I feel a salt uptake into my gizzard. Robert on KBET Politics is the name of the game. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Michael, you know, the mainstream Republican Party, they understand that the majority of U.S. citizens are sick of the illegal alien problem. I mean, they witnessed this guy. Here's a public figure, Sheriff Pyle. I mean, this guy wins by a landslide, and they ignore him. They know where the wind blows.
Yes, of course they do, but they answer to the Better Business Bureau. The factory owners and others want the cheap labor, and they don't care if they lose or win. All that matters is that they can continue to have the largesse that flows to them through the taxpayer. They don't care what the illegal aliens do or don't do in the country. They're protected by bodyguards.
Uh-huh. And if a relatively unknown candidate emerges and he's strong on borders, he's going to be branded a racist by the Republican Party as a, you know, not, you know, both parties. You know, and he won't receive funds.
Well, so how is it that a leader in India named Modi, who's been declared anti-Muslim, even though he isn't, called a racist by the liberals who advised the opposition party, they hired American political extremists to go over there and try to label him that, the people themselves voted for him. The difference is we have no democracy in America. There is not a nationalist candidate in the entire nation who has made it to the national level. How is that possible?
On that platform. Yeah, I know.
Let me explain why. I'm the only one who knows the answer. The reason that we do not have a nationalist candidate that you can vote for is because there is a monopoly in the political structure. It's a monopoly. If there was an antitrust case that could be brought against the Democrats and Republicans, which you couldn't do, you could win it in a court of law. Because fundamentally, it's a closed shop. Democrat-Republican is a closed shop. It's a monopoly. They're not permitting any other party or candidates to get anywhere near the power structure of this nation. They won't let you near the levers. Of course the people would vote for a nationalist candidate in droves. And I include liberals. I can guarantee you that there are savage liberals out there who maybe agree with me on, let's say, they say, well, they believe in the low taxes. They, let's say, agree with me on this and that. But on nationalism, many of them are very nationalistic. They love America. You don't understand that because you have never seen a liberal who's a nationalist. There are liberal nationalists, But you never heard from them because they are excluded from the Democrat Party. So it's a monopoly of ideas, a monopoly of parties, a monopoly of power, and fundamentally you can't break this monopoly. It's impossible. This is a very bad situation, and I don't have the answer for the problem. I thank God that I can still express to you what's going on and explain to you what needs to be done, but I can't change it. I cannot change it. I'm not running for office. I don't even give speeches anymore. I mean, I don't go anywhere. I don't go to any ceremonies, and I don't give any speeches because it's futile. I enjoy the radio show. I enjoy enlightening you, but I don't claim to be a revolutionary. I'm not leading a revolution. Some pretend that they are. In the early days of talk radio, there were people who went out with bullhorns in front of state capitals, and they did a good job of awakening people, but those days are over. Those days are over. The world has changed so dramatically in the last 10 years that you can't do that anymore. So don't forget that you're living in a monopoly where there's almost no democracy. It's all a fraud. It's a sham. You're not able to vote the way you want to vote. And if there was a nationalist candidate who spoke about borders, language, and culture, as did Mr. Modi in India, he'd win by a landslide, or she would win by a landslide. But as of now, Ted Cruz has not come up to that bar. Certainly Rand Paul has not. In fact, he showed the opposite to be true this Monday when he came out against voter ID laws in front of black groups and Hispanic groups. It just showed you that he was misadvised again by the same clowns who probably worked for John McCain, Mitt Romney, and possibly do a little overlap with the big one from New Jersey, Mr. Bridge. 855-400-7282. I got time for a quick one or not? BAP? No. Kurt, when I come back, we'll talk about, listen to this. We're going to talk about homeless horror stories, method acting, free association talking, right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation, a lighthouse in the fog. A lighthouse in the fog. Thank God the fog came back to the Bay Area. I almost worshipped it last night when it came in after the heat wave. I almost got out of prayer mat and got on my deck and prayed to the great fog god. I mean, it's about as real as anything to me. I mean, at least I can feel the fog. The minute it came in off the ocean, came creeping around the bay, and my skin didn't feel like it was going to flake off my body. I said, oh, great fog, and great fog. You can understand why the ancients worshipped like rocks and bushes. And the Jews came along and said that there's a God. There's only a God. It's a guy. I said, well, where is it? And I got a rock here. Look at the carving I have. There's my God. Look at him. No, no, that's not God. The Jews said, no, there's God up in the sky. Where? I can't see him. Can't touch him. Can't smell him. I said, no, there's a God up there. So they got mad at the Jew. They got angry at Jews. Say, what do you mean there's a God up there? I got a God down here. Look at it. He said, no, that you're worshiping an idol. My God is in heaven. Okay, so where is he? Let's see him perform a miracle. So they couldn't produce, so they got persecuted. People wanted to continue to worship rocks, mud, birds, feathers. And we're moving back to that because God, everyone's looking for God now. They don't know where he is. He may be in another universe. He could have gotten tired of this one. I mean, the more we learn about astrophysics, the more we realize we could be alone in space. It's not that God wasn't here. He could have been here. He could have said, feh, on all of you, I give up. I gave you a world. I gave you everything. I gave you a global warming so you wouldn't starve to death. Plants grew. I killed the dinosaurs for you. And what did I get in return? Look what I got in the White House. That's your idea of a leader? Is it what you gave me? I gave you freedom and you wanted slavery goods? I gave you a slave master.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Savage.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation. One of the reasons I love radio is I've learned to appreciate what a minute can be. You realize I have, let's say, a 5 or 6 minute break at the top of the hour. If you've been listening to hour number one, you know the topics we've been talking about. The Free Association School of Talking by Michael Savage. We talked about method acting, developed primarily by Lee Strasberg. Then we talked about politics and various other things. And I talked basically about free association in radio and why I love it. But one of the other things I love about radio is it's taught me to value the minute. It's taught me to really value what a minute can be. You take a 6 minute break. If I could ever describe to you what I did between the time I went off the air and now, you'd say it's impossible. Nobody could do that. I'll tell you what I did. Out of my radio refrigerator, I took some 3-day-old white rice that was hardened. I took a pre-cooked chicken. I chopped up 3 different vegetables. I put it on a frying pan on the radio stove. I put a cover on it. I heated it. It was cooked perfectly because I added a little water to the rice. I'm a genius at leftovers. I'm probably one of the best leftover cooks in the world. For myself now, I don't want to open the leftover restaurant, take it and run with it. Nobody would go to it. Who wants to eat leftover food? If you want that, go to any restaurant in America. But nevertheless, that's number one. I mean, I did those things. And additionally, I took care of personal hygiene issues. Can you believe that? And took vitamin C. The dog is not with me. He's with Irene the groomer. Twice a week he gets groomed. I need a haircut for the last month. I don't have the time to go for one. He twice a week gets a haircut. I need to have my teeth cleaned. I don't have the patience or the time to sit in a chair. He gets his teeth cleaned twice a week, to give you an example. The dog is, he's a pampered poodle, which is why I love him. I give him what I can't get. And then we're talking about the election in India. We're talking about why there's no nationalist candidate in America. In other words, it's an open mic to Mike Friday. And if you care to join the conversation, it's 855-472-8282. The news out there is so horrible, I dare not even talk about it. Two illegal aliens buried one of a woman alive. Oh, yeah. No, they all come here to work. They're all better than you. Ask Obama. Most of them are just folks wanting to reunite with their families. A New Jersey woman was buried alive in a shallow grave by her landscapers, both illegals, after he offered the driver to buy a new car. She had $6,000 in cash. So they covered her eyes and mouth with duct tape and threw her in an open pit while she was alive. But apparently under Obama's amnesty push, they would have been made instant citizens. In fact, under the new Homeland Security chief, they would probably be released right now because they haven't yet been convicted of burying her alive. The evil, racist police in New Jersey just accused them of that. That's all. They haven't been convicted. Landscaper Carlos Alicia Antonetti of Camden and one of his employees, Ramon Ortiz of Pensauken, told investigators they buried her alive, according to authorities. So according to Obama, they should be released because they haven't been convicted. That's all. I mean, they haven't been convicted yet. They may have admitted it, but that's no reason to not deport them and arrest them and deport them. They're probably good citizens. I mean, they just saw the money and went for it. Nothing wrong with that. It's just burying someone alive. It's a cultural thing. It's the way it's done by the drug cartels in the homeland. So what the heck? Why not do it to a woman in New Jersey? Get the picture. I mean, I can't even read this stuff. So I'm going to take some calls. WBOB, a guy named Reagan on WBOB. Reagan, hello, Ronnie. How are you, Ronald Reagan? How are you, Bob?
Doing well, Dr. Savage. I'm 26 years old. I'm a young conservative salesman out in the professional world. I was named after Ronald Reagan. I was homeschooled, so it takes some guts to come out of the closet.
I'll bet. I hope it doesn't impact your sales in Florida.
I hope not. But my point is, I think you bring out sort of the closet conservatives who really appreciate the art and free association. I'm really being serious. And I think that's one big reason why you do so well in the internet radio ratings and beat out Rush, you know, nothing against him, but your free association brings out that younger demographic. And
it's true. On streaming radio, I was number one. I beat Rush by 7 points. I had a 20 share. And younger people are the biggest demographic who use internet radio. Now, that tells us a number of things. And what you're saying is that you're not the first to tell me this. The board operator I have in my call screen are both in their 20s. They have friends who are largely libertarians. And the libertarians love me. They may not agree with my politics on all levels. I'm sure they don't. But they feel safe around me. And they don't want to be around people who say, I'm a conservative and I hate animals. or laugh at someone who cares about elephants, for example. What young person wants to be around that kind of oaf?
Right, right. Yeah, that reminds me of one of your jazz poem that you did in the past. I think you could create a new one, From Free Association to National Degeneration in Two Generations.
Oh, we got a live one here. You know, the young saxophonist who did the jazz sax behind me, Sam Gendel from L.A., I've never met him, but he's going to be coming up here over the next month with a New York film team, and we're going to do a short YouTube video of me rapping with some of the jazz poems, with him playing the sax. Then they're going to walk around San Francisco with me with a camera, and I'm going to basically free associate from North Beach to Chinatown to downtown and just talk about what I see. And we're going to put it up on the website.
I would pay for that, so I'm pretty sure that's going to go.
How much do I hear? $2? Do I hear $3? Do I hear $4?
But, yeah, anyway, and I'm a pretty hardcore conservative, but, hey.
Yes, I understand, the thing is, you can be as hardcore as you want, but there's only so much you can listen to Democrat, Republican. I'm sure that's the reason you're calling.
Exactly, and that's why I appreciate you. I don't want to listen to 3 hours of that a day. It's good to hear, you know, the important things that are going on, but
right.
To lighten up the day, you know, some psychological sunshine, so to speak. So when Sam
psychological nudity, as I call it.
right. I can't say that though in my from my background.
Well, Mr. Reagan, I sure appreciate it, and I wish you well in your endeavors, and thank you for listening and calling the program. Remember those jazz poems that we collected? Neil, do we have any saxophone to play behind it? Is it easy to get? If not, who is that? Is that Sam or you? That's Sam Gendel? How about I'll read one or two? This is going to be a book one day, Savage's Tone Poems, Savage's Radio Poems. This young guy listened to the show for years, and he took words out of my monologues and removed some words and left the essence of it and turned them into radio poems. I'll give you one. Let's see, here's one. Tragedies of the Great American Songbook. Here we go, ready? Tragedy, wherever you look. I love Dean Martin in his day. The sun dying, crashed into the mountains. Frank Sinatra's mother. Private jet crash coming out of L.A. Wherever you look, tragedy. You think the other guy flies like a bird, and you're the only one crawling like a worm. It's all an act. Everyone walks around with a broken heart somewhere. Turn up the music, I'm sick of it all. So that's Tragedy's American Songbook by Michael Savage. I'll read you a few others. Why not? I love the music. A man like me should live 1,000 years. It's terrible, the thought of this kind of evolution to just disappear from the earth. I know it sounds narcissistic and egomaniacal. What's the point of developing yourself to this level? To spend so much time, education, learning, creativity, productivity, to wind up as dust. You'll have to ask God for that answer because I don't have it. Good, not bad. Here's a long one, the death poem. It's too long. It's 3 pages long. How about Ant? Ant? Okay, Ant. Let's get the sax music going on the show. I'll read Ant. Must you step on every ant that's under your feet? They see us as nothing more than ants that you can step on. As they suck on candy and blow hot air into the microphone. On and on with the litany, all lies. It's about corruption and greed and power. Every word while sucking on a hard candy. Thinking no one can see through her Goomba talk. Don't they see the world as it is? They think they themselves are God? That's what power does to people. I thank God I have no power. I thank God I'm an outcast. I thank God I've never been chosen for anything more than for what I've been chosen. Amen. I'll read you two more before I bore out the P1s who want to hear religion and politics, cigarettes. The radio poem. Neil, ready for the radio poem? I fly like an eagle. I transcend my body, the zoological order. The microphone goes off. The lights go off. I fall to earth. That's it. That's the entire haiku of radio. I know many of you are sitting there saying, who is this guy? I never heard of this before. What the heck is he doing? What is he doing? Who is this guy? Why, he's the Lone Ranger. and he left that silver bullet in your brain. One last one, because I'm really enjoying this right now. This is called The Back of a Chrysler, and this is for my board operator, Robert, who has to listen to all of your calls as you insult him, saying to my factotum what you can't say to me. Here comes The Back of a Chrysler. Remember this music? You're too young, sweating in the basements of Queens. The crew cuts, the back seats with plastic seat covers. In the wintertime in Alley Pond Park, it's 10 degrees outside, but nothing can stop a teenager in love. Can you imagine that? That was true. Your father's car with the plastic seat covers, and they don't even make them anymore. Because no one preserves the car like you trade it in 2 years. In those days, they held on to a car. I don't know what they were doing it for. They would put plastic seat covers on their cars. God knows why, for trade-in value. I mean, because money was more scarce then. Don't touch the seats. Don't drink coffee in the car. Don't bring a hot dog in, no, not a hamburger. You can't eat in my car. Don't smoke in my car. Sit in the back of the plastic seat covers. Oh, it's amazing. And those cars today are worth a fortune if you can find them in Cuba. But I think Castro gobbled them all up. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
Wow, this guy must have been on some drugs, my God. What are they using those days? You know, looking back on the 50s, they must have been on something. We didn't use it in my crowd. We never heard of cocaine in those days. Nothing. Speed, forget it. Only some of our mothers used speed. My friend's mother used speed. You won't believe it. She was overweight. She went to a crackpot doctor in New Jersey. And he put her on amphetamine to lose weight. She came back crazy. What a crackpot she was. She used to beat him up with a strap. She turned the father against him when he came. I'll never forget that famous story in Psychological Nudity. He became a mess. He's a wreck, sold ties, a lunatic, married 15 times, worked in the garment center. But I blamed his mother. He was a nice kid when he was young. You know, the mothers do influence the fathers. She was a nut. She went for weight loss. The doctor shot her up with Benzedrine. She came back like a nut. Really crazy. Really, really crazy. I'll never forget one day. I may as well reminisce. What the heck? One day he came home, and she attacked him. She was waiting for him in a darkened living room. By the way, all of the couches were covered with plastic in those days. You weren't allowed to go in that living room. I never set foot in this kid's living room. I knew him for 8 years. It was like darkened. It was saved for company. And I wasn't company. I was just a neighbor. All the couches were covered with plastic because they wanted to preserve the sofas. I don't get that. But anyway, well, in those days, a sofa was expensive. Today, they throw in the garbage. They throw it off a fire escape in New York, and demand that welfare give them a new one. But they lived in a nice house. It was 6 o'clock at night, dark, winter, Queens, New York. Father comes home, drained, white in the face from working all day. The mother meets him at the door and shows her wrists were like blood on them. She had beaten her own wrists with a dog chain to make them bleed. And she said, Joe, look what your son did to me, Joe. Well, the father went ballistic, ran upstairs to his son, who was about 14, big kid, and screamed at him, how dare you do that to your mother? He said, I didn't do it to her. She's crazy. The father said, you're saying that about your mother? Bang, they got into a fist fight. It was biblical, Abraham and Isaac. Bam, bang. I never saw anything like it. It wasn't a normal occurrence in my milieu. I'm talking going at each other, fist to the face, father and son, because the mother was hopped up on Benzedrine and lied. And the kid held his own. The father was a big guy, held his own. And tears were coming down his eyes, but he wouldn't cry. And his childhood ended. I saw him pick up a piggy bank that he had had for, well, his whole childhood. I knew him for 5, 6 years. It was a big, big piggy bank, pink, full of coins. And he was so frustrated, he picked it up and smashed it on the floor. And all the coins flying across the living room. Years later, I wrote that was the end of his childhood. And it was. My mother took him in years later, and the mother threw him out. She put him in the basement. We lost touch with each other many years ago. But that was a story I'm saying to you. I don't know what the musicians use for drugs. I knew some of the housewives used Benzedrine. Imagine what the musicians were using in Tennessee at that time.
I mean, it must have been like something with cornstarch and strychnine. I have no idea what they must have made a mash of down there. Play that song again that set this off. Because I just did a little free association. I want to see what...
Go, man, go. I got a gal that I love, so I'm ready. Ready, ready, ready.
Okay, that's what did it. This guy was hopped out of his gourd. So you could see where my mind went. Okay, so that's an example of free association. I just did it for you. On the air, live. I played Ready, 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 Teddy, Teddy. I heard the guy's energy, and I gave it back to you in a story. That's free association. Boom. Michael on WABC, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, what's happening? I've been a fan of your show. Great show. Free association, it's...
Yes.
It's really the ability to improvise. It's just like music, and you're only good at it if you have the intelligence and you've studied what you're going to speak about, and you're a studied man, so you can do it. Most people, when they take, you know, they take a shot at it, it's not happening.
It's frightening. What's happening now, look, I'm going to say this, and I'm not going to knock anybody, no names. People are seeing my ratings are soaring, and they're trying to improvise as I do, and they sound awful. They better stick to what they've been doing. You cannot do this. You can't pick up a saxophone without a musical score in front of you and start hitting notes, because they're all going to just screech.
Absolutely.
All right, I'm glad you love me. That's what matters. I could sleep better tonight. It's the weekend coming up. It's a long, 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 long weekend. Thank God the fog came back. I'll be...
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I'm a gonna raise a fuss, I'm a gonna raise a holler. About a working old summer just a...
It is 34 minutes after the hour. It's the Savage Nation. You want me to talk about the Sudanese woman ordered to die for her Christian faith? You want to talk about the fact that Obama finally fired the VA official over the deaths of veterans? You want me to talk about Hillary Clinton wearing glasses to treat her double vision? You want me to talk about Bozo's harem in Nigeria and Obama doing nothing? I mean, what do you want me to talk about? I'm talking about what I want to talk about, which is how it comes and how it goes. Whatever comes up, I'll do. See, I'm starting to think about the election now. If a candidate ran who had a big head of hair against Hillary now, because I think she would beat a Republican if she was comatose. If they brought her out on a stretcher, I hope to God she gets well, and she is well, but if they brought her out on a stretcher, she could win, given that the Republicans have nobody to compete with her right now. So if a candidate ran with a big head of hair and was named, let's say, Gluten Warming, he just might be able to beat a comatose Hillary Clinton. Well, he's going to say, hi, I'm Gluten Warming, and I want to be your next president. Now, why do I say someone named Gluten Warming could win? Because everyone knows what gluten, I mean, they heard the word, they don't know what it is, even though we're on gluten-free diets, they have no idea what gluten is or why it's bad. And they're sure they get better when they stop eating gluten-rich foods. So they know what gluten is, they know warming is bad, they think cold is good. But at least the name recognition will be there, Gluten Warming. Hi, I'm Gluten Warming, and I want to be your next president. Not a bad skit. I wrote that to keep, I can't do it to keep myself occupied during the show. Why don't I just auction off these notes for my listeners, my handwritten notes. Homeless horror stories, dead in the water. Does Pope St. Francis, income redistribution, where are you? No. How do you feel about Biden's son on the board of directors of a Ukraine natural gas company? God, nothing. How do you feel about the new election in India? I don't know, but I like curry. I mean, that's it. So that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. And what's interesting is now that I started talking about my free association school of broadcasting on the Savage Nation, I got lots of women calling. Because women free associate more than men do. Men are very, like, left brain. They get scared when they free associate. They think that they're somehow, like, you know, not men. I don't talk that way. No, no, that's not my way of doing things. No, sorry, Bob. Oh, no. The Free Association School of Talk, Michael Savage. Nah, that's a little feminist for me. A little on the female side. Was he lighting the loafers there? What's he talking about? Let him stick basics. Democrats, no good. Republicans, good. That's what I want to hear on that show. That I want the medications for impotence and hair restoration. Maybe an insurance ad. Little gold, that's it. Any other ads might be commie. We don't want any ads, any talk that's communist-like. So that's why I try to bring it up to the method acting taught by Lee Strasberg. I loved Lee Strasberg in The Godfather. Remember he played The Godfather, how shocking it was? I mean, he played Meyer Lansky. When the car, the 50s car, pulls up like in that little house
in Belgrade, Florida, wherever it was. Who knew where it was? It could have been in those days, one of the suburbs of Fort Lauderdale. And Michael Corleone's coming up, played by Al Pacino. Now, you don't know where he's going. They open the door. There's no lock on the door. And there's this little Jewish guy with white hair with a pot belly watching a ball game. And that's Maya Lansky. You talk about method acting. Did he ever do Lee Strasberg ever do a Maya Lansky? I never saw anything like it. I mean, God, Lansky wouldn't have been in a house like that. Lansky wore, didn't wear Robert Hall clothing. Lansky wore, tailored. But he walked his dog in Miami. No bodyguards. How did that work? How did Maya Lansky in his later years, the business godfather of Murder Incorporated, why did he walk without a bodyguard? He had a poodle, by the way. I didn't know that 2 years later. Poodles were popular. Churchill had a small poodle. Hey, when I got Teddy, 10-pound poodle, I didn't know that Churchill's dog was a poodle, a toy poodle. I had no idea, named Rufus. Would you believe this? He loved that dog. And in fact, that dog ate at the table with him, Winston Churchill, in those days. Fed him, loved him. I can see why. All the pressure he was under. All the pressures on it. Airline uses Facebook info to allow people to pick seatmate. Oh, God. The day they permit cell phone use on airplanes, I take a covered wagon. Never will I ever be on a plane with yakkers. I can't. How are they going to not stop fist fights and murders on airplanes if you're going to get next to a big mouth from Brooklyn with a cell phone? They don't shut up. My Jag is in the shop right now, my Jaguar. Why? What happened? Well, I can't blame her. I was doing 30 in a 35. And a woman, a pregnant woman with a baby in a carriage and a cell phone, walks out of nowhere, doesn't even look, uses her carriage as a weapon to stop traffic. Of course I stopped. Well, I'm not crazy. Then after that, the clutch didn't work right. Bingo. So I had a limp at home, towed to the shop yesterday, 1970 XKE. He says, yes, it's the master cylinder one. Now we're ordering one. So I said, well, replace the slave cylinder at the same time. I don't get that. I don't even know what a slave cylinder does. I don't like the idea of it. In fact, I'm afraid to drive a car from now on because do new cars have master and slave cylinders in them? They have to rename them. I think there's some connotations in there that make me uncomfortable. For example, does Prius have a master and slave cylinder just like an old car does? I'll bet they ruled out the slave cylinder in new cars for liberals in Hollywood. I don't think they buy it. If Larry David knew that his Prius had a slave cylinder in it, do you think he'd be embarrassed? Do you think he would use soft toilet paper when he went to someone's house instead of the eco toilet paper with cellulose strands in it? No, I don't think so. So why would he drive a Prius with a slave cylinder in it? I don't get that. Can anyone call the show and tell me what a slave cylinder does? I can imagine a master cylinder, when you press the brake, right, compresses pressure, hydraulic fluid on the clutch. On the clutch now. The clutch slave and master went. Tranny's still good. I don't know what was in there, but I can't blame the woman. I don't know. Why would a short stop make a master clutch cylinder go out? I don't get that. There's no, fluid in the gutter afterwards. I didn't see, a pile of fluid. I'm glad it's in the shop. I don't even want it back. I think I'm going to sell it. I couldn't wait to get in a new car with air conditioning, automatic, 0-60 and 4.5. I mean, like a hot rod sedan. I couldn't. Teddy likes it with the air conditioning. What do you think, he's stupid? When I take him out in that old car, he hides underneath the front like the wheel well. Because you could burn up, you could die in a car like that in the sun. Even with the top up, you could die. It's like a sauna bath. No air conditioning. They didn't have it in those days. They had it years later. The thing I love about the E-Jaguar, interesting, is because I always wanted to buy a D-Jag. They're $9 million if you can find one. This was under 100 grand. But it's fundamentally a D-Jaguar in a street body with some refinements for a street car. It's an amazing machine. The independent rear suspension is like a baby carriage on it. I love the car. I love the design. Enzo Ferrari said it was the most beautiful car ever designed, but that was in those days. As it was going up in the tow truck, I looked at it from the side view. The silhouette, gorgeous. Like a bullet as it went up on the flatbed. I got the nicest tow truck driver in the Bay Area. It's the second car he's towed for me. Sweetheart, 125 to the shop, nothing. You know, I look forward to having cars break down just to meet this guy. He's a nice guy. He's from Mexico, sweetest guy in the world. You know, most tow truck drivers are like mean, thuggish, tattoos. This guy's like a small guy, nice guy. How are you? Very nice. Paying. I enjoy him. I said, nice. I haven't seen you in a year. So he's towing the Jaguar. I said, well, I hope I don't see you for a while. He got the joke.
He can get it. How come the white people around here can't get my sense of humor? How come I can translate and get people understand my humor in other languages? The stiffs here are frightening. They're all from Kansas and make believe they're from Brooklyn. What do you want to talk about? I need a woman on free association. No, that's a good caller. Susan on WABC. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael.
Hi, what's on your mind?
Hi, I was listening to your show the other day where you were trying to get callers to talk about if they didn't believe in God, and I happen to be one of those people, and so I just wanted to call and
yeah, okay, so you're an atheist, and what else is in your call that is of any, what else is in your call that's of any merit?
Well, I'm a 60-year-old nurse. I've been working for 35 years.
You're a 60-year-old hearse?
Nurse!
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
No, no. So I'm a 60-year-old nurse. I've been working for 35 years. I grew up in a unique situation of being the youngest of five children, and the middle brother passed away suddenly when I was just turning 5 years old. And he was supposed to be a healthy, you know, fine boy. And when he got sick and died suddenly, my parents at that point gave up religion. So I grew up in the house, because I was only turning five at the time, with no concept of God. So I just wanted to call and say, I think I'm a contributing member of society. I'm not.
Of course. Hey, look, don't think I'm here to convert anybody to monotheism. I mean, that's your thing. I mean, as a nurse, have you seen people die in front of your eyes?
Wait, you were also asking your callers about don't.
No, whoa. No, let's move it along. Susan, as a nurse, in your career, have you seen people die in front of your eyes?
All the time.
Oh, now here's the question. Here's a question. I believe people who tend to the dying are saintly. Most of us have never seen a person dying. Those of you who do it on a regular basis are a different breed. When the life goes out of their eyes, what do you see?
I see the end in most cases, because most of the people I work with who pass away are elderly. And I see the end of a journey well done. And I see the heaven or hell where they're going is in what they have left behind in their loved ones and the people whose lives they've touched along the way. And
wow, that is beautifully put. That's very poetic, Susan.
My parents didn't.
And I got to tell you, in all the years of my reading and talking, I never met anyone who said that heaven or hell consists of those we leave behind. I've never seen that, never heard that said.
Tell you, my parents didn't like raise me in, you know, la la land. They raised me that because most people that we meet have a concept of God, whether they're Catholic, Protestant, Jewish, whatever. And to help explain where we're coming from, they said our concept of God is what is in us and the good or bad that we do with our life on our personal journey is our concept of God.
I understand. Well, Tolstoy wrote that the kingdom of God is within us, and he got that from Christian doctrine as well, by the way. Even though the Christians believe in Jesus, there is Christian doctrine that says the kingdom of God is within us. In that sense, I have heard that before, but I never heard anyone say, as you said a few minutes ago, that the journey leads to, you know, where, H or H, depending upon the legacy we leave with those, you know, that we've known or touched. And apparently you've left a legacy that'll take you, that you've left the legacy of heaven, I suppose, in your work.
And you know, my parents also always said, when you pass by a mirror, look in it. And that person that's looking back at you, is that the person that is doing the best job they can to help, you know, the other people in this world?
Wow, so even though you're not God believing, you're a very giving person.
And I would also like to say, because I come from a unique position, and I know the word brainwash can be taken in the wrong way, but I really am at a lack of another word in my vocabulary, but you're not born. It's not an instinct. God concept. It's something that has to be taught to you, whatever official religion you
want. You're saying that an infant is a blank slate, doesn't understand the concept of God. It has to be taught to that infant.
Exactly. You have to go to Sunday school or whatever religious school, or your parents have to be well-versed to teach you. It just isn't naturally the Bible stories and the concept.
No, children are by nature pagans. I understand that.
No, no. It's not.
No, children are by nature pagans. They are.
I don't want to go.
Well, they are. The children are wild Indians. I mean, children are wild Indians. And I'm not denigrating Native Americans. They're just little wild creatures.
The religion concept is not an instinct. It has to be taught no matter what part of the world you happen to be born and whatever.
But let me ask you something. I assume, did you raise children yourself? Were you lucky
yes.
enough to have?
Three beautiful children.
All right, so here's a question. It's an interesting question between a man and a woman. We don't know each other. My mother said to me that a child needs to believe in something in order to grow up. They have to believe in something. What do you teach? What did you teach your children? That there's no God, there's no nothing?
The God that we believe in and what I passed on to my children is what you do yourself, that God is inside of you, and the good or bad or how you choose to lead your life, that, you know, that is our...
All right. I actually don't ascribe to that theory, but I respect that you do, incidentally. I'm convinced personally by my own experience that there is a higher being, and that I'm going to answer to that higher being at the end of the road. And some days I think it's going to be a very nice meeting, and sometimes I say, oh, man, I'm not looking forward to this one. It's like a bad final exam. You know, Susan, I thank you so much for enlightening so many millions of people today with your not only your belief system, but your beautiful personality. That brings us to 49 minutes after the hour on the Savage Nation. I'll be right back to take your calls and give you the latest news.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. I've had a wonderful couple of hours with you today. I hope you've enjoyed the show. We've talked about so many topics, from the news to my views to my reviews. We did the Week in Review, Homeless Horror Stories. How do you feel about Biden's son on the board of directors of a Ukraine natural gas company? Does Pope Francis's income redistribution talk worry you? I then described and discussed, I'm doing like a review for the class. I then described and discussed the method acting that was taught by Lee Strasberg, and moved into the Free Association School of Talking by Michael Savage, going all the way back to Isaiah in the Bible, to Tristan Shandy by Lawrence Stern in 1700s Ireland, to Michael Savage on radio. We then touched on Hindu Modi's huge nationalist victory in India, what it means for America, and we lamented the fact that there's not a nationalist candidate on the ticket of the Republican Party, someone who officially speaks for borders, language, and culture, and how no nationalist candidate can ever emerge in this country because there's a monopoly of the two parties. I'll be back for another big hour across America.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I ran all the way.
It is Rock and Roll Friday. Welcome to hour number 3 of the Savage Nation. And as I say, any topic is fair game. If you've been listening to the show for the last hour or two or 15 minutes, I mean, we've touched on an awful lot of things, including my style of radio, which is unique, admittedly. It may not be your cup of tea, but apparently it is the cup of tea of millions because the show is booming. It's that simple. People like the Free Association School of Talking by Michael Savage, just as they love the method acting by Lee Strasberg in the form of Al Pacino, Robert De Niro, Marlon Brando. In essence, I feel that what I do in radio is on the lines of method acting. And I get into the state of mind of talking about a subject and I'm there. Do I make it up? No. Do I believe in what I say? Yes. Do I add humor to the topics as often as I can? Do I shift gears too rapidly for some? Yes. But then there's always others for you. If you're a linear thinker and you are, let us say, threatened by jump cuts, I mean, the show is like not for you. I do a jump cut show. So here are some of the headlines, and then I'll take your calls at 1-800-44, I don't know the number. 1-800-855, no, sorry, let's start again. It's no 800, it's 85, I don't know my 855-400-7282. This is something I should have remembered by now, but even after a year and a half or 2 years, I can't remember my phone number. 855-400-7282. We'll open the safe to more people than you'll meet for the rest of your life if you're lucky enough to clear Robert on the board. VA official out over veteran death scandal. Blood money, kidnapping, drugs, and guns fund Bozo Harem's terror. Clinton's health is an issue now. They're making it a big issue now. But my position is that she could win on a stretcher. I mean, we pray she gets well if she's not well. My prediction is, by what I see going on the Republican side, if she was comatose and they had to use someone to speak for her, they said, well, Mrs. Clinton's resting right now on the podium, and they used the factotum to speak in sign language, she could beat a Republican. Why? Why do I say that? Because not one Republican stands for anything. Can you really tell me what the Republicans stand for other than, let's say, lower taxes? We know they all stand for lower taxes and little smaller government, which are very admirable. But besides that, what else do they stand for? Do they stand for borders, language, and culture? No. Do they stand for any issue of national pride? No. Do they stand for anything that separates them distinctly from the Democrats other than lower taxes and less regulation? Not that I can think of. Well, that's not enough. They do stand as opposed to Democrats. And that may be enough for you after 8 years of the clown in the White House. I get it. And I probably would vote for any Republican over any Democrat, considering what Obama's done to the country and will do before he's finished. But I don't see them standing for very much. That's the problem. And no one listening can tell me what they stand for. That's one topic. Then there's the religion, no religion, homeless horror stories, Biden's son on the board of directors of a Ukraine natural gas company, my dog Teddy. My dog Teddy, if he's not the most beautiful dog in the world, who is? Everyone thinks their dog is the most beautiful. And Pelosi, if you want to laugh, we can get the cuckoo clock going. Neil, let's get the cuckoo clock going for clip number four. I'm going to set it up. Pelosi says the Republicans are being driven to their wits' end. Do we have it ready, the cuckoo and Pelosi? Tell me when. And we'll make people understand the vision that I have for this country on the Pelosi and clip four whenever you're ready. If not, we'll move on.
I think that Hillary's strength, her popularity, the prestige she enjoys has driven the Republicans to their wits' end. That's what I think. I think what he said only makes her stronger.
Okay, very good. The most popular woman in the history of the world, Nancy Pelosi. Only in America could this woman be as powerful as she is. It's impossible to believe how she got this far and why she's still there. Given her impossible, I mean, she doesn't say, not a sentence makes sense. And the things she says are bizarre. Just totally bizarre. But all right, that's what you get in politics today. Hindu nationalist leader Modi claims victory as India's next prime minister. All right, when I go have Indian food, I'll find out what it really means. I'll have to ask the owner because he's a Sikh. And I don't know what they think about them. Now, you have to understand the liberals hate the new winner in India. Before the man even opened his mouth, he was already a racist who doesn't like Muslims. I don't understand the liberals' love for Muslims. I don't get it. I'm not saying hate Muslims. But why do they hate Hindus and love Muslims, American reporters? Listen to clip number three and tell me this is not stupid for a man who was just elected. Listen to clip three.
You really can't talk about Narendra Modi without talking about his controversial past, and of course it's just his controversial aspects of his background. And this is because while he was the chief minister of Gujarat for the past 10 years, back in 2002 there were anti-Muslim riots when more than 1,000 Muslims were killed. Many of course accuse him for not doing enough to stop those riots. He of course continues to deny those charges, but still that suspicion is still there, and a lot of people in India, in spite of this victory, are still frightened of what the future holds, particularly the minority communities in India.
Well, she's not talking about the Muslim killing of Hindus. She's not talking about the Muslim burning of Hindu temples. She's not talking about all the murders on both sides. And she doesn't, of course, tell you about how Hindus might be treated in Pakistan, a Muslim country, because I don't think they exist in Pakistan in any numbers. So everything is warped from the liberal point of view. But right now you're going to hear everything negative about the winner in India. And you really ought to study the history of the India-Pakistan situation, the Hindu-Muslim situation, before you even draw an opinion. That's my opinion. WABC Rich, I don't know if I want to do the Hindu-Muslim thing. I really don't. Maybe I'd rather do free association. Kurt on WBAP in Dallas. You're up on the Savage Nation, Kurt. What's on your mind?
It's lovely. And I always called it stream of consciousness, like a Hunter S. Thompson writing or a poet or songwriter. It's you taking one concept and joining it to another and coming up with a whole new idea. And I strongly urge people study it.
Do you like when I do it, or you'd rather I stick to monodimensional political talk?
Oh, no. I love it. Like, you start talking about the antitrust laws of the late 1800s and the early 1900s and how they had to break up these giant businesses so there would be more competition. You associated that with our current political dilemma, which is the Republicans and the Democrats have this big, giant company, and you can't get in and compete with them because they need to go to antitrust court is what they need.
Absolutely. In other words, if I formed the Nationalist Party, I would literally have to sue the Democrats or Republicans in the U.S. antitrust court. But you know that I couldn't win.
Well, if you could actually get in the court.
No, because, listen, the courts are rigged. The judges are appointed by the Democrat and Republican monopoly. So why would they even hear the case against the monopolists?
That's right. You would just say you have no standing or something.
That's right. They'd say I'm not even an American. They would say an illegal alien from Guadalajara has more standing in courts than I do.
Yeah, free association works in comedy, too. You want to hear a comedic joke?
I'll try it.
All right. I have to do it in a southern accent. There's like four or five different concepts I'm putting together.
Okay, but hold on. As long as it isn't racist or dirty, I'll listen.
You got it.
Go ahead.
Hey, you know what you get when you pinch a donkey on its hindquarters? Do you know what you get, Michael?
What do I get?
Well, first of all, that's a Democratic symbol. First of all, don't stand right behind him. Stand off the side, pinch his hindquarters, and it'll go, hee-haw, climate change, hee-haw.
Okay. All right, I think we've heard enough. I enjoy it. I'll tell the jokes, you listen. I think I'll be the one to tell. Okay, not bad. I do the jokes, but they're not like that. Ugh, it's Friday, for God's sakes. What are you going to do this weekend? Me, I have a fabulous weekend planned ahead of me. Let's see, I have an MRI tomorrow morning, which I just canceled. All week long, I feared the magnetic resonance imaging of my neck and back. But suddenly, this is a strange thing. It's very Twain-esque, and it's absolutely true. I've been plagued with a severe neck pain for 2 months that was sending radiated pain down my legs and back, and nothing would help. And so a friend of mine who's a great, very famous doctor insisted I get an MRI, so I scheduled it for tomorrow at 10 a.m. But as the days went on and I feared being locked into that coffin that clicks too loudly, the magnetic resonance imaging machine, the symptoms started to abate. As the week wore on and the closer I got to the machine, the better I felt. The neck felt better, the radiated pain diminished. Now, I could say that some of the natural methods of healing I've used have helped, such as stretching, such as eliminating high salt food. I mean, almost all the salt was triggering a lot. Taking high levels of certain nutrients to reduce inflammation. Or I could just say it's all psychosomatic and I'm just a neurotic. I don't know which it is, but it's amazing what the fear of an MRI did for my condition. I feel much better approaching Saturday, so I canceled it just before the show. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. I'm actually happy listening to my own bumper music, getting ready to talk to my listeners. I feel good. It makes me happy. It's like a high, a natural high. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. I've been taking quercetin this week and to reduce swelling, and it's an antihistamine, a natural antihistamine. What's funny is many of these things I wrote about in the 70s, but because I had lots of, allergies every spring, like killing allergies, I don't want to take drugs. I can't stand antihistamines. I just took a simple large dose of quercetin with vitamin C. I feel better immediately. It's an amazing thing to see that not only when you preach something, but when you practice what you preach and it works. You see what I'm saying? 855-400-7282. Let's go to Jonathan on the internet or whatever topic is on his mind. Jonathan, go ahead. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Michael. I was just interested. I know that you're a big Jack Kerouac fan, and I'm just first, I was wondering, I know that Jack Kerouac had a little brother that was sick, and he wrote a novel. I can't really...
Yep, his brother Gerard died when he was young, I believe.
Uh-huh. And I know that you also had a similar situation growing up. I was just...
Yep, it's interesting. I forgot that about Kerouac. I think maybe that's what helped me sympathize with him. I don't know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so I know he was a big free association guy, and I was just interested in hearing you tell us about what you learned from him.
Isn't that interesting? That's because you heard my show yesterday where I said that isn't it fitting that one of the dirtiest alleys in the city is Jack Kerouac Alley next to that commie bookstore, blah, blah, blah. But truthfully, I loved Kerouac's writings and it changed my life. Is that what you're referring to?
Well, I didn't actually hear that. I did listen to most of the show yesterday, but
I was a fan of On the Road, and I said it changed my life. I remember reading it in 1957 or 59, I don't know, I think 59. I remember I was just a freshman in college, and one of the kids came around. I remember to this day he was the fat kid in the crowd. He wore a raincoat, and some of the kids were mean to him and ridiculed him, and I loved this guy. He was a great guy, but he was very shy. His name was Harold. Who else would a fat guy in a raincoat be called? And Harold carried a little novel called On the Road, and he showed it to us, and he said, "This book just came out. It's really great. You ought to read it." And everyone, mocked him. What do you know, Harold, And I said, "What is it?" And we talked about it. I bought the book. It changed my whole view of the world. So, it was written by Kerouac. He did something no one had ever done before, which is he put teletype paper into a typewriter. Instead of using individual sheets of paper, he would use, I think he was using Benzedrine. I think he was on Benny's at the time, and he would write rapid fire, whatever came to his mind in his storytelling fashion, and he didn't have time to change paper, and he just rapped out the thoughts as they came through his head. He wrote the novel in a very short period of time. Now, the technique and method of his writing is not what I was talking about. I'm talking about his story of being on the road and what the symbolism of On the Road meant to me as a young American who grew up in a very staid, lower middle class household, a very staid lower middle class life with very, very little mobility permitted by my milieu and by my parents, my friends. There's only certain roads you could go down: doctor, lawyer, dentist, accountant, businessman, teacher, social, whatever. You couldn't do anything out of those realms. Now, some did, obviously, but reading On the Road, I realized there was a whole world out there that I knew nothing about. And the only way I could find out what this bigger world was to basically break free of my upbringing and go out on the road, which I did. And it took me to the most amazing places, both in my inner space and in my outer space that I could ever imagine. I can't describe them all in a sentence or two. But I would thank Allen Ginsberg for breaking the shackles of my limitations, frankly. I'm sorry. What did I just say? Yeah. Right. That whole era, the Beatniks, the Kerouac, that whole scene opened me up to a bigger world. Now, does it mean the whole bigger world was a better world? No. But I was a child at the time, and what you do is you grow up, You select from that new world what is good and what you want to follow, and you reject what you don't want to follow. That's what I'm saying.
Right. Well, that's
you don't see, because even Kerouac was deceived by the Beatnik school. He himself was hoodwinked by the other Beatniks, and they were super liberal, communists, many of them. He found out that they were all distorted. He even called many of them communists. And he died a man alone in his mother's house as a Republican supporter of Nixon and a supporter of the Vietnam War, by the way, Jonathan.
Right.
See, that's something your college teacher won't tell you in the Beatnik class.
And also, what do you think about Tom Wolfe? I know he wrote the Electric Kool-Aid Acid Test, and I was wondering if you like him. I think he's a conservative, too, but he has kind of that.
I don't know his politics. I certainly loved some of his books. I particularly loved the one where he's in a car, and the car breaks down, and he goes off the highway, and then a group, you know, get him with a burning tire. I forget the name of that book. It became a movie. It was fabulous. Because he showed us what could happen with one mistake in your life. One wrong turn off a highway and your whole life could be ruined. And it's quite a metaphor. Tom Wolfe was a fabulous, fabulous storyteller. But I never related to him the same way as Jack Kerouac. Because Jack Kerouac was cool. Tom Wolfe was not cool. Tom Wolfe was an energetic writer with very inventive stories. But he was not a guy who you would say was a kind of cool guy. The cool guy was Kerouac, who didn't try to be the cool guy.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the old Savage Nation back and alive again. God, I loved the 90s on radio. I really did back on KSFO when I was a local host. I remember to this day, I remember the people who worked in my room. I had a board up. They used to dance to this music. I remember the people would just start moving to this music. The girls love this music particularly. And here we are, so many years later, still going strong, bigger than ever. I'm the only local host in the history of the Bay Area who broke out nationally and made it to the big time. And yet there's so many people who just continue to detest my good fortune. They think it was pure chance. They don't know that I've worked every second of every day to get where I am and to stay where I am. And without listeners like you and readers like you. No, seriously. So we're talking about the news. You want a news story? Veterans scandal risks engulfing Obama. Financial Times just came out. I'll read you the headline. Amid contrived outrage over Benghazi and the improving fortunes of its health care reform, the Obama administration could be facing a genuine scandal about its treatment of military veterans that has the potential to attract broad political condemnation of its competence. The Department of Veterans Affairs, VA, is facing mounting evidence, listen to this, that some of the hospitals it runs have been keeping two sets of books to make it look as if they were reducing waiting times to see a doctor. More damning, the department is investigating the claims of a whistleblower doctor in Arizona that dozens of patients at one hospital died while they were languishing on a hidden waiting list without ever being given an appointment. You can read the rest yourself. And you ready for this one? More than 970,000 veterans from the last two wars have filed disability claims, taking the total enrolled in the VA system to 8.57 million by the end of 2012. You hear this? Added to that is the fact that many of the 6 million vets from the Vietnam era are now reaching the age when they start to require a lot of medical services. And in 2010, the administration expanded coverage to exposure from Agent Orange, the chemical used during the war in Vietnam, prompting another surge of claimants. So what's the answer? The budget for the VA has risen from $73 billion in 06 to $153 billion this year, but the number of outpatient visits has increased from $46 million to $83 million. So what's the answer to this? I don't have an answer to this. I do know that they're in real trouble, because Richard Blumenthal, you know the name? Oh, is he a do-gooder? Richard Blumenthal, who's a real busybody who sticks his nose in everyone's donut, is a Democrat senator from Connecticut, said there was, quote, solid evidence of wrongdoing within the VA system. What does that tell you? It means they're running scared. And in a sign of how serious the White House believes the political fallout could become, the president's deputy chief of staff, Rob Neighbors, has been dispatched to the VA to help manage the fallout. So that's a big story. The truth is out on Benghazi, and now we have another one, a VA story. I don't know how they're going to cover this one up. But, of course, with a little help from their friends, they get high, and with a little help from their friends, they get by, which is why the Beatles wrote the song, "With a Little Help from Your Friends, You Get High, and With a Little Help from Your Friends, You Get By." And, Neil, if you could find the Beatles, we can play it later on. I'll take some calls as Neil's looking for "With a Little Help from Your Friends, You Get High, and With a Little Help from Your Friends, You Get By" on the Savage Nation. Santa Fe, New Mexico. David, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hey, Michael, I'd like to get your opinion on something. Free association is what caught my ear today, and you've talked about problems with courts and judges and the psychiatric field. You were talking about what they do to little kids with what they call ADD, putting them on Ritalin and such.
Yep.
Free association, I think of it, first of all, I think of it as right brain and left brain. I kind of combine the painting a picture with a palette of words, with schematics and flow charts, and I convey an idea and paint a picture to somebody. And what I want your opinion on is I was recently forced into the psychiatrist's office to get evaluated because I was in a custody dispute, and I did just recently win a unanimous decision at the New Mexico Court of Appeals proving that my little children have been illegally sold or illegally adopted to a step-parent, so naturally that messed me up quite a bit. But sitting there talking to psychologists and psychiatrists, if you start to free associate with them and paint them that picture, like what I was...
Oh, no, you can't do it in front of a therapist. They'll consider you nuts.
That's what I wanted your opinion on.
No, you got to fake it in front of a therapist that you're being forced to see. They're all government agents, particularly in a custody hearing. No, play Mr. Straight. Get a button-down shirt, tie, don't drink any coffee. Go in there and stick to monodimensional answers. You better have a script. Because the minute you let your guts hang out, they're gonna crucify you with your own statements.
Yeah, they kind of did that already, so next time around... Yeah,
No. Don't open up. If it's a court-appointed shrink, you're already being put on trial. They assume something's wrong with you. And since the system is stacked against men in any domestic dispute to begin with, because of the feminist radicals who have basically warped the entire justice system, you have to learn all the rules of how to defend yourself. And the number one rule is don't talk too much. The number rule two is go in there with a script and stick to your script. No matter how the shrink tries to get you off script, always go back to the script. Come in with 5 to 6 bullet points and don't vary. That's the only advice I'd give you. As long as it's the truth, I didn't tell you to lie, did I? No one's going to crucify me with my own words. I didn't get where I am by being incapable of seeing what I'm saying, or saying what I'm seeing, or saying and seeing while I'm seesawing around on the seesaw. You see what I'm saying, or do you say what I'm seeing? 855-400-7282 is the Savage Nation. WFTL, Johan, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Yes, I see what you're saying. Your free association, for me, reminds me of dreaming. And I believe people who are inflexible in their thought are not having correct dreams. They're not open to having just these possibilities come in and making these connections, or they're making the wrong connections or trying to use drugs to come up.
Yes, most people lead such rigid lives and have rigid minds, and they need drugs to open them up to free associational thinking, but they're not ready for the demons that come out.
Yes, that's what you mentioned earlier, too, and these days there's more of that infection.
Yes, it explains the epidemic of bizarre happenings in our land. I don't have to read the litany of things that go on, from a woman picking up a pipe and hitting a 4-year-old girl with it. Where'd that come from? She was obviously a drugged-up schizophrenic, released on the streets because the liberals wouldn't put her into a mental hospital. Things like that are happening because of drugs and because of the lack of controls over our population in the proper spheres.
Do you agree with the lady that called that religion is not an instinct? Because I think it is because...
It's an interesting point. No, I immediately said she was right, and I think she is right. I don't think children have an instinct for religion. I believe that they have to be taught that there is a God. Otherwise, they are basically what? They're kind of like little wild animals. What do they believe? What does a child believe? How does a child know if God exists?
Do you think
a little baby when it's born knows there is a God?
But do they have an instinct towards the truth, to find the truth?
Well, let's do this. Let's go back to the ancient Greek philosophers who asked this very question. And the best on this was Plato in his dialogues, where he had an interlocutor who would ask questions, and he tried to prove the answer to these questions by using logic. And in some cases, he proved that there was precognition based upon reincarnation. I remember reading the dialogues, by the way, in mathematical formulae, which is very interesting. One year, I wasn't sure of my own thinking. I had come back from Europe, and I was rather unstable from the experience. And I said, I don't know if I can even think clearly anymore. So I took a course in logic and scientific thinking at the City College of New York. And in it, we had to read Plato in mathematical formulae rather than in words. And in pure mathematics, it showed how brilliant this man was. In other words, the formulas had to hold up in mathematics, not in words. And he proved that God existed in his own mind and proved it through mathematical formulae, which I thought was amazing. I don't know if it answers your question, but I'm answering the question in another way. Thanks for the call. Maybe that's way over the, you know, scope of the show right now. Sometimes I wonder if you got to be very careful in talk radio. Remember, I was telling you everything's changing, everything is in play. I don't know where it's going to be in a year. I have a sense that what I'm doing is going to win. I know it's winning now for the last 6 months from January to June. It was not June yet, it was in May. 5 months now. Top of the heap. Can I keep it up? Well, I can only do what I can do. If I'm still living, I'll still do it. If you still like it, you'll still like it. As we get closer to the election, the midterms, this November, I'm going to be getting much more political because we have to. Right now, I don't have to get political. I could care less about Hillary Clinton. I don't care about Ted Cruz. So I would rather do a different kind of program. But come August in the Hotel Ozone, I can guarantee you that I'm going to be hammering the political issues, because unless we win the election, I understand when I say we, you're saying, well, what do you mean we? What do you mean who's we? We is anyone opposed to the Obama machine. We is anyone who wants borders, language, and culture. We is anyone but a Democrat. That's what we are. We have no chance and no choice right now but to go with anybody but a Democrat. That's my opinion. Now, I don't out and out endorse candidates. I probably won't. I might at the last minute tell you who I'm going to vote for if you ask me, but I will not tell you who to vote for. But I have a very important book coming out in October. It's called Stop the Coming Civil War. It's by one of America's largest publishers. I've been working on it for well over a year. It's going to be the last-ditch effort on my part to awaken America to the danger we are in and stop the counter-reaction that's about to emerge in the most violent manner unless the maniacs in power put the brakes on their egos. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
I thought it was appropriate for him to come before Congress and go before the House Veterans Affairs Committee. If he doesn't give a better answer, then I'm not sure how he wouldn't have to do anything but resign. Whether he resigns or not is important. But if these allegations are true, people should be going to jail.
That's John the Madman McCain. With a little, yeah, I love this song. That's the VA scandal. Obama's government accused of hiding long hospital waiting lists. Well, the main thing is that the First Lady can have the jet fuel to go to China. And they need to get everything polished and fueled from Martha's Vineyard, including the Osprey helicopter for the dog. The vets can drop dead. But meanwhile, the veteran scandal is blowing up in their face. You say, good, 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 good. Well, it's not good for the vets. What is the scandal? Oh, nothing, that they had two sets of books on waiting lines in the VA hospitals, and then men died in the hallways waiting to be treated. That's all. But the main thing is that Obama cares about the illegal aliens, and that Obamacare is available for illegal aliens, not for veterans. And the main thing is that he wants to stop deportations using executive actions. But he can't keep a double set of books on that. So veteran scandal is a big deal, and that's what McCain was talking about. Government was accused of hiding long hospital waiting lists. Read FT Times on this. And it's so serious that the Democrats from top to bottom are in a disarray over it. Everyone except Nancy Pelosi, because as long as she can get her candies to laugh at everybody, she's in good shape. Richard Blumenthal, as left-wing as you get, from Connecticut, said there was, quote, solid evidence of wrongdoing within the VA system. While the other leftist, Patty Murray from Washington, said the standard practice, the VA seems to be to hide the truth. So they're all now trying to get in front of the scandal and make believe that they give a rat's you-know-what about veterans. And how serious this issue is, by next week, Benghazi is going to be dwarfed by this. But as you well know, the Teflon Don running the country is not going to be touched by it. Why do you think he did a medal ceremony the other day and appeared at the Arlington National Cemetery? The Teflon Don will be somewhere else by the time it blows up. An underling will get it. He'll be walking around in a foreign country probably, and he won't even know what happened. Playing golf in England maybe, whatever. Scotland for the summer. Popping off to Martha's Vineyard with the poor hedge fund managers in order to make sure that the world is safe for democracy. Average waiting time for U.S. veterans claims was 100 minutes, 100 days. And under Obama, it went from 100. In 2009, it was about 100 days. Waiting times for U.S. veterans claims, about 100 days. And then it started to escalate. In the year 2013, it went up to 350 days. The average waiting times for U.S. veterans claims. But they don't matter. They're just nothing. They're factotums. They're cannon fodder. They're flotsam and jetsam to the political class. And don't think it really is limited to Obama. I mean, let's be clear. Well, you think Bush was better to the veterans? That's why he had court-martialed so many Marines for doing their jobs in Iraq? Yeah, he was a really great leader of the American military machine. Really great leader. So, you know, it's a universal problem. The government has always seen the military as a necessary, let us say, pain in the neck. You use them when you need them, and you abuse them when you don't need them. That's what's going on here. But now it's blowing up because there are more veterans than ever. And no matter how much money they throw into the hospital system, there's not enough because, truthfully, they'll never be able to pay for the care of so many people coming online right now. 970,000 veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan have filed disability claims. That's 1 million vets. So how do you deal with a thing like that? How much money can you throw at health care and the Veterans Administration? I don't know where the money's going to come from. The VA runs 152 hospitals, 817 outpatient clinics. And, well, you see, they have expanded the definition of what can be treated, what conditions are treatable. And so now if you have PTSD, which was not treated in the near past, it's an illness. And so guys are lining up for the treatment. But don't worry, the Teflon president won't be touched by it. You know why? Because they get by with a little help from their friends. They get high with a little help from their friends. It's been quite a run on the Savage Nation. And I hope I'm back on Monday. That's all I can say to you. With God's will and your listenership, I shall return.
Savage.